I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is Chris Ann Hall. You can find me at chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. You know, not only can you find me on chrisannhall.com, but you can find also over 100 articles that I've written. You can find training videos. You can contact me through Facebook and Twitter. I'm trying to do Instagram. I'm having a hard time fitting all that in, but I do have an Instagram account. You can also get my open letter to Marco Rubio. Let me just read it to you so that you can know whether you want to go and get it. I'm hoping that we can send this out far and wide. It says, Mr. Rubio, I have read your opinion piece published May 10th, 2015. I understand that this is your opinion, but I am puzzled how you can hold these opinions and still claim to be a conservative member of a party that claims to be supporting the Constitution. Specifically, you claim that the Patriot Act and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act are essential to the protection of our national security, and that we must continue these clear violations of our Fourth Amendment and our right to liberty to keep us safe. To the contrary, with these permissible intrusions, we have seen a massive increase in power of government in general, and the power of executive power in particular, an increased control over the people, and a decreased respect for the rights of the people throughout America. Faisal Shahzad, the Boston bombing, and the Garland shooting are clear examples where the government was continually monitoring these terrorists and still allowed the violence to occur. So tell me again how critical it is to do away with the Fourth Amendment. You claim that bulk metadata, and this is his quote, you claim, quote, bulk metadata includes phone numbers, the time and duration of calls, nothing else. No content of any phone calls at all is collected, end quote. You contradict your own claims in the very next sentence, quote, the government is not listening to your phone calls or recording them unless you are a terrorist or are talking to a terrorist outside the United States, end quote. What you are truly telling America is that the government is listening to our phone calls and recording them. But trust us, it's only when we think you're a terrorist. I'm sorry, sir. I cannot garner that much trust from my government, and you should not suggest you expect it. May I remind you that on two separate occasions, the DHS and the DOD have declared the definition of a terrorist to be so broad as to include many within the Republican Party. Quote, from the DHS Office of Intelligence Analysis Assessment, April 7, 2009. Quote, right-wing extremism in the United States can be broadly divided into those groups, movements, and adherents that are rejecting federal authority in favor of state or local authority, or rejecting government authority entirely. It may include groups and individuals that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposition to abortion or immigration, end quote. This report also claims, quote, return of military veterans could lead to the potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violent acts, end quote. From the January 2013 DOD training on extremism, quote, nowadays, instead of dressing in sheets or publicly espousing hate messages, many extremists will talk of individual liberties, states' rights, and how to make the world a better place, end quote. Knowing that these are the official definitions of terrorist, how can you possibly expect Americans to trust government with such a gross violation of our liberties? Your statement, quote, despite recent court rulings, this program has not been found unconstitutional, and the courts have not ordered a halt to the program, end quote, is disingenuous at best and borders on complete propaganda. Production of just one case contrary to your claim shows your dishonesty. I will give you three. On March 15, 2013, U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston declared that the Patriot Act, Section 2709, quote, violates the First Amendment and the separation of powers principle. The government is therefore enjoined from issuing NSLs under 2709 or from enforcing the nondisclosure provision in this or any other case, end quote. On December 16, 2013, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon entered an, quote, an order that bars the government from collecting as a part of the NSA's bulk telephony metadata program any telephony metadata associated with their personal Verizon accounts and requires the government to destroy any such metadata in its possession that was collected through the bulk metadata bulk production program, end quote. On May 7, 2015, a three-judge panel, Circuit Judges Sack and Lynch, along with District Judge Broderick, ruled National Security Agency program that is systematically collecting America's phone records in bulk is illegal, stating that, quote, the telephone metadata program exceeds the scope of what Congress has authorized and therefore violates Section 215. In these three court cases, we have seen that actions under the Patriot Act have been deemed unconstitutional and illegal, bulk metadata collection has been ordered to a halt, and the National Security Agency's exercise of Section 215 of the Patriot Act has been deemed illegal. Mr. Rubio, you then tried to justify these false claims by clarifying that, quote, in fact, this program has been found legal and constitutional by at least 15 federal judges serving on the FISA court on 35 occasions, end quote. This is simply more propaganda intended to deceive the public. Who are the FISA courts? Well, according to their own website, they are federal courts appointed by the federal government whose only job is to review, quote, applications submitted by the United States government for approval of electronic surveillance, physical search, and other investigative actions for foreign intelligence purposes, end quote. Quote, most of the court's work is conducted ex parte, as required by statute, and due to the need to protect classified national security information, end quote. Three, consideration of the Constitution by these courts is secondary to national security needs. See Rule 5A. So let's get this straight, Mr. Rubio. You expect the American people to be comforted by the fact that 15 federal judges appointed by the federal government, whose rules and procedures by definition place national security over the rights of the people, whose judgments are held in secret, with no accountability, have determined that the government's actions are illegal? Tell me again how you believe in the bedrock principles of America. One of your flowery speeches quoting the founders while you pander to the real conservatives who haven't figured out who you are should do nicely. You claim that there is not, quote, there is not a single documented case of abuse of this program, end quote. Not a single documented case of abuse in a system shrouded in secrecy, hidden by national security claims, conducted ex parte, and protected with gag orders? Wow. That indeed is impressive. I would find your argument more credible if you simply started yelling, I am Oz! Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, you young whippersnapper! Your Alinsky-like use of threats of future violence put you in dubious company, to say the least. Don't you guys get tired of trotting out some boogeyman to scare the people into trading liberty for a false sense of security? Every attack that gets through your vaunted dragnet, you use as proof that we need to sacrifice more and more liberty. Somehow we're supposed to believe that the reason some nut job blows something up is that the people are too free. Your opinion, demonstrated by your rhetoric, that the Constitution is outdated, that the founders were ignorant fools, is the very thing I labor to combat every day. I am ashamed of ever having worked on your behalf. You have been a sincere disappointment, to say the least. Here are some words that you, Mr. Rubio, should take to heart. The very word secret, quote, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we, as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings, we decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighs the dangers which are cited to justify it, end quote. That was John F. Kennedy. You, sir, are a cheerleader for the very thing JFK wisely warned Americans to guard against. I don't care whether you call yourself senator or president. Your used car sales pitch for security is not worth my son's liberty, and you, sir, ought to be ashamed of yourself. Sincerely, Chris Ann Hall. Now, if you agree with that, would you please go to my website and share that letter? Why don't we post that on Marco Rubio's page over and over and over again and see if he can actually respond to the facts instead of just simply repeating the rhetoric? Aren't we tired of watching these politicians trade our liberty for national security and then want us to be grateful for that? I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand how so many people can claim to be conservatives and still support a man like Marco Rubio. He is a false representative. He is not true to his word. And I should know. I worked on his campaign. I should know. I was part of his team. And I am ashamed to have to admit that. And I'm ashamed that I ever asked anybody to vote for him.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So we've been talking about this TPP fast track, where fast tracking would limit Congress to an up or down vote, preventing them from holding debate on specific parts of trade agreements because, you know, we need to give the president more unilateral, uncontested power, right? Not. And the good news is that the fast track failed. And the interesting story in that is fast track failed because the Democrats refused to vote for it. It failed in the Senate because of a 52-45 vote. And Senator Tom Carper from Delaware was the only Democrat to back it. Now, we mentioned earlier this week that there was way too much secrecy for the Democrats to be comfortable with this. You can only view the trade agreements in a locked room. You can take notes, but you have to leave the notes in the room. You have to leave all your electronic devices outside. You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which means once you've read it, you can't talk about it. How is that representation? How is that the people being heard in their voice when their very representatives are being told, you can read what the president's trade agreement is, but you can't talk about it. You can't debate it. And you can only have an up or down vote on what it is. My goodness, that should be so offensive to anyone who supports a constitutional republic. The power placed in the hands of the president is alarming, but then also understanding that this power is not really being placed in the hands of a president that the people have elected. No, this is a unilateral power being placed in the hands of ambassadors that we didn't elect. You see, these ambassadors are the ones that have the majority to do with these trade agreements. They're the ones that are writing and drafting and promoting these trade agreements. Ambassadors, elected by no one, dictating to our elected representatives what they can and cannot see, what they can and cannot say. Isn't that crazy? See something, say something is the motto of the Department of Homeland Security, but it doesn't apply to our congressmen. How convenient. And the interesting thing is this. The Democrats were opposed to this, and the Republicans supported it. I mean, I'm absolutely stunned by this. Now, Mitch McConnell actually voted against the fast track after he strong-armed the Republicans to voting for it. Now, according to The Hill, all the Republicans voted for it, with the exception of one. Marco Rubio missed the vote, and so did Lindsey Graham. But The Hill reports that that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul voted in favor of the fast track. But I don't know if that's true. I don't have a roll call. I can't get my hands on a roll call. And from the very beginning, Rand Paul has said that he would vote against it. Now, from the very beginning, Ted Cruz said he would. And the only statement that I could find in which Ted Cruz mentions at the Des Moines, Iowa Freedom Summit that he would vote for it, and the only reason was because he was for free trade. Now, I don't understand that with Ted Cruz. Is Ted Cruz simply saying the only way we can have free trade is to give the president unilateral, unchecked power? There's got to be more to this. I don't understand why Ted Cruz would be supporting this. This is inconsistent with his usual stand. But Rand Paul is pointing out that Ted Cruz is being inconsistent. And Rand Paul, at the very same summit, said he would vote against it. And since the crash of this vote in the Senate, he has actually come out and said that he is still against it. So I really, really need to get my hands on a roll call here, because I think maybe The Hill might have missed something. But we do know that the majority of the Republicans voted for it, and the majority of the Democrats voted against it. And we know that fast-tracking trade agreements is contrary to liberty, contrary to our understanding of a constitutional republic. And when we get back, I'll show you just why.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So I want to share with you Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution, so we understand just how bad this TPP is. Because it's not over. This fast-tracking is not over. This TPP is not over. And it's going to come up in the House now. And so now we need to get on to our representatives to not bring this back. Because the House of Representatives could bring back this fast track. The House of Representatives could bring back TPP. We want to make sure that TPP is absolutely defeated. This trade agreement is not something that we want. And what's amazing is that, you know, so many Republicans voted for this fast-tracking. Haven't we learned already that it's not good to pass the bill so we can read the bill? But yet that's not what this fast-tracking does. Now, I want to read to you Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution. Quote, he, meaning the president, shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided 2/3 of the Senate present concur. End quote. So the Constitution says the president shall have the power to make treaties, but only with the advice and consent of the Senate and 2/3 of the Senate's approval. This fast track would take away that. It would simply take away the advice and the consent part and leave the 2/3 of the Senate concurrence to an up or down vote, meaning all treaties would be held in secret. They wouldn't be allowed to talk about them, and it would be a yes or no vote with no debate. No debate at all on the Senate floor. That's why we have a Republic, America. So that we have debate. So that we have open and free discussion. Now here's the really, really bad part about all of this, as if it couldn't get worse. So what the fast track is saying is, we will not allow our senators to have debate. We will not allow this to come to the floor. We will not allow open transparency of this would-be legislation. Because this is exactly what it'd be. The treaty would be legally binding. But not only that, those in government would consider these treaties to be the supreme law of the land. I'll remind us that Article 6, Clause 2 reads, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Treaties made like this, they will claim to be the supreme law of the land. And they will actually then believe that they can change the nature of the Constitution through a simple act of Congress. This fast track, this TPP that they've all supported, every single one of them that has voted for this fast track has said, we believe in the Senate that we can alter the very nature and wording of the Constitution with a simple legislative act. How is that possible? Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 clearly says that the president can only have power to make treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate. And now these senators who voted in favor of this fast track somehow believe that they can alter and amend the Constitution with a legislative act. That is not constitutional, America. That is contrary to the Constitution. The only way you can amend the Constitution is through the provisions established in Article 5, which do not include a simple vote by Congress. It requires a ratification by the states. And yet, because of our universal ignorance to the Constitution, we have senators who believe they can amend the Constitution by vote. And that ought not be so. How crazy is that? How crazy it is that we have Republicans who claim to be party of the Constitution submitting to the people that they can change the Constitution with a simple vote. Now, we got to go about changing that perspective, America. And the only way we're going to change that is if we actually get educated ourselves. Do we really want... You know, I just thought about something. This is not only changing Article This is not only changing Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 by vote. This is changing Article 6, Clause 2 by vote as well. You see, the Supremacy Clause reads, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and the treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land." You see, the only thing that is the supreme law of the land unconditionally is the Constitution. Blanket, Constitution, supreme law. The laws of the United States, the laws which Congress make, are only the supreme law of the land, according to the Supremacy Clause, when made in pursuance to the Constitution. So any law created by Congress that is contrary to the Constitution is unconstitutional, is not the supreme law of the land. And any treaty which is made outside the authority of the United States, which again is a reiteration of the fact that a treaty must be made in compliance with the Constitution, is not the supreme law of the land either. And this fast-track vote proves that many of our senators believe that not only they can change Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, but that they can change the very nature of the Supremacy Clause and make the laws that Congress make supreme to the Constitution themselves. And this is the really bad part, because they will make treaties supreme over the Constitution of the United States, because we have an executive branch that does not care about the Constitution, does not care about the limitations. This particular administration, now this has been the opinion of many administrations, that the Constitution is just simply a document that gets in their way. But this particular administration has been actively looking to subvert the Constitution, to circumvent it. And so when we put the hands of power, we put the power in the hands of this administration to say, you can now make supreme law of the land without any check and balance, and your supreme law of the land will be supreme to the Constitution of the United States. What are we actually saying? We're actually saying we have no Constitution at all. That the Constitution is as worthless as they say it is. As worthless as Marco Rubio claims that it is. And I'm just, you know, I'm really surprised at the yes votes on this. I'm not surprised that Marco Rubio didn't have the time to vote, because I'm sure he would have simply voted for it. He's a go-along, get-along, establishment puppet. But I don't understand how so many can be so ignorant and have such blatant disregard for the Constitution. I don't know, can you explain it? I simply cannot. I would like to hear Ted Cruz explain his vote. Again, I'd like to see a roll call to see if Rand Paul voted for it or not. Perhaps we can understand the vast ignorance when we look at the fact that they're simply not concerned about their constitutional power. 113 of our representatives, members of both the House and the Senate, have filed briefs to sue, legal briefs, to sue the president over executive immigration actions. We've talked about this before, but I think maybe we're seeing a trend here. This destruction of our Constitution comes because either, number one, our House and our Senate are completely ignorant of their role and their obligation and their checks and balances, or two, they don't care. And they think we are so ignorant that we won't know. Do you know the danger of the House and the Senate bringing a legal action against the president over the president's actions? Where are they going to sue the president? They're going to sue the president in federal court. Who appoints federal judges? The office of the executive? The office of the executive branch appoints federal judges. So how many federal judges are going to vote against executive power? It doesn't matter whether they like this president or not. They have to know that their jobs are dependent upon a certain amount of executive power. And how will we trust a court system who is appointed by executive power to limit that executive power? Federal courts have not been following the Constitution for decades. They've been following precedent. So when the House and the Senate bring this question to the federal courts, they will not be asking, is this president violating the Constitution? They will be asking, is this president doing anything much different than previous presidents? And that, according to the track record, the answer will have to be no. And the inevitable conclusion of our courts when our House and our Senate file lawsuits against the president will be, no, this president is not doing anything much different, and therefore his actions are lawful. They will never actually address the constitutionality, or they'll fake it. But they will find these actions, and what will Congress be left to do then? Simply accept that they are powerless, and they have no control. My choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, how do you suppose this is going to work out after the House and the Senate sue the president and the courts rule in favor of the president? And now the states are trying to sue the president too. And so what happens when 26 states who are suing the president over executive amnesty, and the House and the Senate are suing the president over executive amnesty, what happens when the courts rule in favor of the president? I mean, I really think we should think this thing all the way through. What are our options then? Because then you will have the common call of your federal supremacists who say, well, the Supreme Court has ruled that what the president is doing is allowed. So we must sit back and simply accept what the Supreme Court says. And in that ruling, the Supreme Court, or the federal courts, if it, you know, I don't even know if it will get the Supreme Court, if the federal courts rule that, they will have ruled the Constitution dead. They will have ruled our constitutional republic dead. And they will have, by opinion, made us a totalitarian kingdom under the rule of the executive branch. Because the real solution is understanding that the checks and balances do lie within the House and the Senate and the states, but they don't lie in lawsuits. They lie in the power of the states to simply to refuse to obey these laws. Now, there would be some that would call me a neo-Confederate, a racist, for asserting that the states could do that. But I want you to look at the opinion of Justice Roberts. Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts says, quote, "We look to the states to defend their prerogatives by adopting the simple expedient of not yielding to federal blandishments when they do not want to embrace the federal policies as their own. He says the states are separate and independent sovereigns, and sometimes they need to act like it. There you have Supreme Court justice saying, look, if the states don't like it and it's unconstitutional, they don't have to submit to it. See, it's not just a matter of not liking it. It's a matter of understanding that the federal government can't operate unconstitutionally and then bind the states to it. That's the whole purpose of the Supremacy Clause. Not to make the federal government supreme, but to make the Constitution supreme and the federal government checked by it. So the states have the right and authority and, according to Madison, are duty-bound to step up and say, we will not follow these laws when they violate the Constitution. And that's exactly what Justice Roberts is saying. But not only that, if the House of Representatives alone, in their conservative majority, did not want executive amnesty, under Article 1, Section 7, they could defund it right now. They could, because Article 1, Section 7 puts the power of the person, the House of the, alone. The Senate says, the Constitution says the Senate may offer amendments, but if they don't, the House budget stands as they put it forward. And so our conservative House could defund amnesty right now. So why are they suing the president instead of using the constitutional authority and the remedies that our framers put in front of us? I don't know. Perhaps that gives us a clue on everything else. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. On the contrary, when we become universally ignorant and debauched in our manners, we will sink underneath our own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." Are they ignorant or immoral? That's the question. And does it really matter? Because the destruction is still the same. God bless. See you tomorrow.